Welcome back to The Takeaway. Todd Zwillick with you today. The politics of immigration are playing out across the United States, like this at the border.
We demand an immediate stop to all deportations because each one of these numbers equals a life destroyed and a family devastated.
Of course, lots of immigration politics in Washington, D.C.
Today, our immigration system is broken. And everybody knows it.
And, of course, every day on the campaign trail.
I will build a great, great wall on our southern border, and I will have Mexico pay for that wall.
But the politics of immigration are playing out in other places as well, somewhat unlikely places. America's classrooms. As part of our collaboration with the Global Nation Project from PRI, we're hearing from educators about the impact of immigration policy on students and their families. Earlier this summer, I had the chance to speak with Montserrat Garibay at a conference in Washington, D.C. She was a first-generation immigrant student in Texas herself, someone who's lived through the experience that so many of her students do today. And I asked Montserrat if she remembers her very first day at school in her new country.
I remember riding the big yellow bus and having no clue. I literally spoke no English. And just seeing the school with so many kids and just standing there kind of like, okay, where do I go? I didn't even know. Like, we literally were dropped in front of the school, but we were very lucky because there was a ESL teacher and she spoke Spanish. So she kind of made me feel like it's going to be okay. I'm your teacher. And she would take a group of us to her classroom. So it was scary. Of course it was scary because I remember the teachers just kind of like in the cartoons that they would just move their mouth. And I would just be like, what are they saying? I have no clue. But I had a really good teacher that just kind of explained, this is what's going to happen. This is how the day is going to go. This is where you need to go when the bell rings at the end of the day. But I felt like I was very lucky because I know that there were the students that never had that, that they were literally dropped outside that yellow bus and that they had no clue where to go. They didn't have that support system that I had, but it was due to a really good teacher that I was able to graduate.
Are you hoping that you're that teacher now?
And that's the reason why I became a teacher, because I wanted to be just like Mrs. Hernandez, how she just was so kind and taking my sister and I under her wing and just really caring and not judging. That made me realize that I really wanted to be a teacher. So the kids that look like me could have someone that would just be there for them without judgment and just realizing that through that support, they could graduate just like I did.
Let's talk a little bit about what Austin is like for immigrant children in the schools or for the children of mixed status parents or immigrant parents. What's the environment like now in terms of being able to have a normal, productive education? I'm not there. You work there. Can you describe a little bit about the atmosphere for the kids, the resources, just the experience that you think those kids are getting now?
So we have a lot of mixed status families where we have, for example, in Austin, one of the things that happens when, let's say, a parent is driving their children to school, they don't have a driver's license or an identification or even insurance. So if they get stopped by the police in Austin, the police works very close with the Immigration and Customs ICE. So if they get stopped, for instance, they take them to jail and they can be deported in 48 hours. So that's something that a lot of parents are very scared of, driving and taking the kids to school.
Does that happen? The deportations happen?
The deportations does happen. Yeah, they do happen. For instance, my last year of teaching, I had a child who I knew he was coming to school. The mom was bringing him to school. And all of a sudden, the child didn't show up for like a week and a half. So I called the parent. I called, you know, just asking like, hey, what's happening to the child? Why is he not showing up to school? And the mother answered the phone and said, well, Ms. Garibay, my husband was deported, and right now we don't have the keys of the car. The dad was driving, and the dad was going to work, and he got stopped, and he got deported. So I said, well, can you get the keys? the keys for the car. And she said, well, the keys are in jail. I can't get the keys because I don't have an ID to go and ask for the keys. So to me, that was very heartbreaking because we had this great four-year-old that was not attending school. Obviously, their family was broken, separated, and the child was going through a lot of pain. So one of the things that I did was I said, okay, let me call some of the lawyers that we know. I actually went to the jail, and I asked for the keys for the parent, and they were like, well, but you're not the wife. Well, I was like, well, no, I'm not the wife, but here's my ID. I'm a teacher, and I'm really worried about this family. They really need the keys so the mom can actually take the child to school. Needless to say, after talking to a lot of the people in the jail, they actually gave me the keys, and I was able to get the keys to the mom. But these are just some of the things that are very real, and I think a lot of times we take for granted. We say, well, how could this be? Explaining this to, for instance, the principal was really hard because she was like, well, you should never get involved into those type of complicated immigration things because you're not a lawyer. But in the bottom of my heart, I was like, well, I get where you're coming from, but these are issues that I can't teach this child how to, the numbers or how to read and write when I know that first of all, they're not bringing the child to school. But also this is heartbreaking because the child is not, they're not even able to go outside at an apartment where obviously the mother is very depressed. Obviously the child is crying all the time because he wants his dad. And to me, something that it goes beyond our classroom, that we can only just focus on teaching math and science. We also need to look at the realities that our students are living every single day.
We talk a lot about the indirect effects of immigration policy here in Washington on education, on the classroom. Right. It doesn't get any more direct than this. I mean, mm-hmm. This is a dad who was deported, result, the child literally cannot get to school.
Right.
Didn't show up for school.
Yeah. I mean, and you know, this is a U.S. citizen child. This is a child that has every right to attend school. And because of our broken immigration system, he's not able to.
Montserrat Garibay is a vice president at Education Austin. Stay tuned this week for more from our collaboration with Global Nation. And you can listen back to all the segments in this project. Visit thetakeaway.org/globalnation.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.